Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 7, day 1 of the study of Hebrews. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Hebrews 10, 1-10. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. Join me as we pray before we get started. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Would you speak to us? We want to know you. We want to feel your presence in your word, God. When we read it, when we hear it, when we think about it, when we talk about it, we want to feel you near to us, God. We want to engage with your word in a way that we know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the reality themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That right there is a giant statement. That sounds like, on the surface, that our author has just undone the entirety of the Old Testament law. It sounds like what he's saying at face value is that everything they did was pointless because it didn't actually bring them salvation. In one way of looking at that, one perspective, that's true. Because the sacrifices of bulls and goats is not what saved people. It's not what took away their sins. The blood of bulls and goats did not take away anyone's sins ever in the Old Testament. God forgave their sins. In their act of obedience through offering these sacrifices, God forgave their sins. It was their obedience because of their faith. If you don't believe in God, then you don't listen to the words that he's spoken. And if you don't listen to the words he's spoken, you certainly don't offer bulls and goats to take away your sins. So it's this measure of obedience that they're engaging in. It's the faith that they're engaging in God, that is going to be their justification because they've done that, then there's a value in the blood of these bulls and goats. But in the end, they're ongoing because they're not sufficient. None of this was sufficient. And that's what our author here is saying. If they were sufficient, one bull would have been enough. One goat, one ram, that's all you need. But it wasn't. And so in a way, he's saying that these annual sacrifices are actually a reminder of our sins. And so the law, the temple, the tabernacle, all of the sacrifices, they're, our author here is saying, only a shadow of what's real. They weren't the realities themselves. And if you stop and think about it, you know, what on earth does a bull or a goat and their shed blood have to do anything at all with my sins? The only power contained in that is that God said, do this and I'll take away your sins. You shed these animals' bloods and you sacrifice them and I will take away your sins. That's the only place where there's power in this equation. It's not dwelling within the blood of these bulls and goats. So then it begs the question, what was the point of the bulls and goats in the first place? Why? If it was really just obedience to God, why did they have to sacrifice the bulls and goats? And our author here is saying, is there a foreshadowing of what was to come? There was blood that could be spilled that would once for all do away with the consequences of sin. There is blood that could be shed that would take away the sins of the earth. It wasn't in the bulls or goats, but there is blood that exists. And so these bulls and goats and these sacrifices, this perpetual motion of offering sacrifices and the aroma that's arising up from this basically giant barbecue outside the temple, originally the tabernacle, it's going on all the time. And then there's the annual sacrifice to remind them of their the sins they committed in omission, or the ones they didn't realize they were doing. Every year, they're reminded. Every day, if you live near the tabernacle or the temple, you're reminded just from the smell of, I mean, it really was. The altar was really like a barbecue. So this place has got an aroma. It's got a noise. It's got, I mean, imagine all these cattle that are being slaughtered, goats. You know, there's a continual reminder there. But their blood was of no value, except that God said he would accept it. But he would only accept it because it was the precursor, it was the foreshadowing of what was to come. Verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, my God. That is quoting from Psalm 40. But he's saying that Jesus comes in and embodies that. Continuing on in verse 8. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It was because, like I've been saying here, the author is telling us, God is not pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. He's not impressed by that. The only value in it at all was that it was done in obedience to his will, to what he told them to do. And they did it. That's the only value at all in it. And the only reason that they were asked to sacrifice bulls and goats and birds and whatever else that they were asked to say, there's a whole bunch of stuff that they could sacrifice. The only reason that the Lord told them to do that was because there was a sacrifice coming that would come in perfection. Not only perfection, perfection is too small a word to express who Jesus is and what he did. Not just perfection. He was the Son of the Most High. His voice is the one that uttered creation. Bulls and goats, angels and humans, nothing else, as we see in Revelation, nothing in heaven and in earth was found worthy to open the scrolls that God has for his end time plan. Nothing except for Jesus, because he poured out his blood to redeem mankind to God. It was that blood and that blood alone, that sacrifice and that sacrifice alone, that makes all of the Old Testament sacrifice make any bit of sense. When we view the Old Testament sacrifices apart from Jesus, even the metaphor of it just falls apart. Why? why is there this continual sacrifice? Why this need for these animals to die for human sins? That doesn't make sense apart from the Lord is saying, listen, there is a perfect sacrifice coming, and it will look like this, but it will not be this. The perfect sacrifice coming will not be a spotless lamb or bull. It will be the spotless lamb. It will be the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. Jesus is the one that all of this was foreshadowing. And that's why he said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. Every bit of the law was pointing to him. All of those continual sacrifices, every bit of it is pointing to the Messiah to come. And now he has come and he has offered his body up. And he was bruised and broken and he shed his blood for us once and for all. There is no need for continual sacrifice anymore. We put our faith, our allegiance in Jesus, and we are free from sin for all eternity. The sacrifice's value was not in the bulls and goats. It was in the obedience. And in the same way, we enter into the salvation of Jesus' blood in obedience by submitting ourselves to him. That is one of the reasons why I use the word allegiance often. Faith is the biblical word. If you want to get technical, it's the appropriate word. But faith doesn't mean in many of your ears what the Bible intends it to mean. Faith means that there is the evidence. We're going to get into this as we move through Hebrews. The evidence of things hoped for but not seen, the things that we don't see, but the evidence of it, meaning there's action. The evidence is that there's action, there's obedience, there's movement on our part. That's what faith is. But faith in many of your ears and in many people in Western culture ears is that you are a member of some religious denomination or something like that. That's what faith has come to mean, and that's not what the Bible means by it. The word that we use in modern English, allegiance, that you have pledged your allegiance to something. That's what faith means in the Bible. We're going to see that in chapter 11. Our faith, our allegiance in Jesus is what's necessary for his blood to cleanse us. And his blood is valuable. I just dropped my pen. I'm actually like waving my pen here at the computer screen as I'm saying this. His blood is actually valuable. His blood is a sacrifice that's a worthy offering made to God on behalf of our sins. And Jesus has cleansed us if our faith, our allegiance is in his. I pray that if you not put your faith, your allegiance in Jesus, that you would do it today. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and if you ever have any questions or comments, hit me up at me@darrenhibbs.com. You can send an email or at Darren Hibbs on Twitter. I love engaging with people. I've been getting emails and comments and things like that on the podcast on a pretty regular basis for quite a while, and I love engaging with people over these topics. So if you ever have any questions or comments, me@darrenhibbs.com or at Darren Hibbs on Twitter. Again, I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.